Ik wens de Hour of Power van harte geluk met de 500ste uitzending. Ik zou zeggen, op naar de volgende 500. En ik hoop werkelijk dat op de uitzending zegen mag rusten, want we hebben het nodig, ook in Nederland.
Hallo, ik ben Rob de Nijs en ik feliciteer Hour of Power van harte met zijn 500ste uitzending. Ik zou zeggen, power to all our friends.
Ik wilde heel graag Jan en zijn hele team van The Hour of Power feliciteren met de 500ste uitzending. En God zegen toewensen voor de volgende 500. Heel veel succes en fijn dat je er bent met je programma.
De 500ste uitzending van Hour of Power. Wat een prestatie. En ik feliciteer Hour of Power heel erg met wat ze bereikt hebben tot nu toe. En ik hoop nog een keer 500 uitzendingen.
Goedemorgen. I'm John Townend and I have the privilege of being the international director of the Hour of Power. And today it's absolute wonderful celebration and congratulations to you for 500th program of the Hour of Power in the Netherlands. Tremendous.
Geweldig, al die felicitaties van mensen die zich betrokken voelen bij Hour of Power in Nederland en natuurlijk wereldwijd. En we zijn ongelooflijk blij dat we vandaag de 500ste uitzending de lucht in mogen zenden, zoals dat heet. En ik weet het nog precies hoe we 10 jaar geleden begonnen. Het was allemaal heel spannend en het ging vrij onverwacht. We kregen onverwacht toestemming van RTL Nederland om te gaan uitzenden. En zo kwam de eerste uitzending in Nederland. En er waren toen niet zoveel kijkers. Nu zijn er inmiddels vele tienduizenden, ja honderdduizenden kijkers. En ook mensen die aangeraakt worden door Hour of Power. En dat raakt mij weer aan. En ons als team van Hour of Power. De mensen die wat hebben met Hour of Power. En tot geloof komen in Jezus Christus. En daarom zenden we nog altijd uit. En ik hoop dat we dat heel lang blijven doen. Ter gelegenheid van de 500ste uitzending hebben we zometeen een paar bijzondere gasten op de bank. Dat is al eerder opgenomen, namelijk deze zomer toen ze op doorreis waren door Nederland naar Italië en ze kwamen uit Engeland. En dat had allemaal te maken met Hour of Power en wereldwijd de uitzendingen. En dan heb ik het over Donna en Anthony Schulle die straks op de bank zitten zoals dat heet. Maar nogmaals, dat is deze zomer opgenomen. En verder Ron Mitchell in de Crystal Cathedral. Als 3-jarige jongen werd hij door zijn vader verlaten. Vader probeerde zelfmoord te plegen, dat lukte niet. Hij schrijft een aangrijpend verhaal over adoptie en heeft daar een boek over geschreven. En veel muziek, onder andere van Daniel Rodriguez, die zingt Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Hartelijk welkom bij de 500ste uitzending. En we hopen dat we over 10 jaar de 1000ste mogen uitzenden. Want we denken in mogelijkheden en we geloven dat ook. Een fijne uitzending.
Join us today for the best hour on television, The Hour of Power with Robert Schuller.
Shake hands with somebody behind you, in front of you, or next to you. Give them our greetings. God loves you, and so do I. Ah, this is wonderful to come into church, so many people, and have somebody touch you and say, God loves you, and so do I. That's a fabulous thing. Thank you. Let's pray. Oh, this is a different place, God. We can see the sky. Heavens declare the glory of God. Yes, this is a place, Lord, where people come even before they can really be strong believers. And they're loved and admired and respected just as much as the outspoken Christian. And now, God, we've come together, we'll sing together, and will become one family of love. Amen. Now, join in singing the hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Hear the words that St. Paul wrote. Blessed be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And into an inheritance that can never, never perish. An inheritance that can never spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. In all this, greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These trials, they come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, may be proven genuine. And may result in praise, glory, and honor which Jesus Christ reveals. Though you may not see him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you do believe in him. And are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, and that is the salvation of your soul. Now, just as he who has called you is holy, that doesn't mean perfect. Doesn't mean sinless, it means a whole and healthy human being. Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, which means live out Christ's love through your eyes, your face, and your lips, and the touch of your hand. So you be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy. Because I am holy. This is the Word of God. We have a wonderful guest this morning. I didn't meet him until this morning. And I just got a man's copy of his book, which has been out some time. But the book is called Castaway Kids. I have not read it. I can't wait to read it because the people who endorsed it, for instance, Benjamin Carson, Dr. Benjamin Carson, MD, you remember him. Johns Hopkins University separated the two joined twins, made a miracle happen. Dr. Carson says, before you sit down to read Castaway Kid by Rob Mitchell, I'd suggest you obtain a box of tissues. This compelling story grabs from the first page.
helps you to understand what real loneliness and what real rejection is like. A splendid example of how the hand of God can heal all wounds and boosts us toward the goal of realizing our potential. And when you finish this book, Dr. Carson writes, you'll be ready to put down the tissue and pick up your conqueror's helmet. Thanks, Ben. Thank you very much. Here he is, the author of Castaway Kids. Rob Mitchell. I can see a spirit comes out of your eyes. Spirit comes out of everybody's eyes. And I have been able to see when the Spirit of Jesus comes out of those eyes. Now, that's not where you were born. Tell me the first 3 years of your life.
When I was 3 years old, my father abandoned my mother and I. He put a gun to his head, pulled the trigger, and blew out part of his brains. But he did not kill himself. And for the next 26 years, he was a walking vegetable in a mental hospital. A man with a college degree, a master's degree from Northwestern University, could put food in his mouth but not remember to chew. He could walk, but he could not talk. He could put his pants on, but not remember where or when to go to the bathroom. My mother had enormous emotional and psychological problems that she had masked prior to their marriage. But as always in marriage, those masks come down. And 3 months after my father's failed suicide attempt, she drugged me from Chicago to Little Princeton, Illinois. And it was a strange building, and I'm whimpering, and she's telling me to shut up and commands me to sit in a corner and play with blocks with this strange boy. And I reach for a block, and he steals it. And I reach for a block, and he steals it. And I turn to look to my mother for help, and she's abandoned me without a word of explanation. And a strange woman whose name and face I don't remember says she's gone back to Chicago. She'll come get you when she's well. And I still remember, in three-year-old slow-motion clumsiness, rising up off the floor crying, "No!" and running to the nearest door and trying to reach the handle to escape and find my mother. And I'm too short, and I can't reach the door. And this woman says, "Quit crying or I'll spank you." I was terrified. I couldn't quit crying. And she picks me up and spanks me over and over and over again until the pain of being spanked is worse than the pain of being abandoned. And my memories then go blank for a while.
You would be in that orphanage for
14 years.
Mm-hmm. At the age of 17, they had to let you go, right?
Yes.
State laws.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they do? They took you to the door and would they say goodbye?
That was pretty much, it was very much so, just a sports coat and a one-way bus ticket to wherever you wanted to go. It was very difficult on the boys because teenage boys go through their childhoods very angry. And we didn't learn coping skills. We didn't learn how to balance a checkbook. And so many boys ended up living lives of drifting, meaningless, often dead or in prison before they were 21 because we could never come to grips with the issues of our own childhoods. Many people often wonder, what is it like to live in an orphanage? And the two phrases that describe it the most are very regimented and desperately lonely. The bell rang at 7, raced to the bathroom. There were 60 kids, broken up little boys, little girls, big boys, big girls. Raced to the locker room, put your clothes on, line up like a ragtag army, punching and shoving. Stomp downstairs for breakfast at 7:30, lunch is noon, dinner's 5:30, and then they locked the kitchen. They weren't being mean, but there wasn't any money for staff or food for 8 o'clock snacks at night. So if you were hungry, you went to the bathroom, cupped your hand, and drank tap water. But the other thing was the desperate loneliness. As you know, children are egocentric. We think life is good because we're good and we deserve it. But children at risk like we were think life is bad because we're bad and we deserve it. And we pray and we hope, but eventually we give up hope that anybody is going to rescue us.
Did you go to college?
Yes.
How did you get in? How did you pay for it?
A very long, strange story. I ended up at Guilford College in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was there for 2 years. Then I had found Christ the fall of my senior year in high school. And so 3 years later, went deep in the jungles of the Congo, the Ubangi jungles,
wow,
on a mission field.
And how did you find Christ?
I was invited to be a lifeguard and swim instructor at Covenant Harbor Bible Camp in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. I thought they were nuts to hire a punk like me. But here are these campers, and they're the camp counselors. They have this joy and this peace and this love and this hope. And I kept trying to dismiss it because they didn't have my childhood. And they kept trying to give it to me for free. And I started struggling that maybe I'd missed something, because this whole loving Heavenly Father image didn't fit my reality.
You had an experience with a father, and you didn't want another one.
Right. And all the kids I grew up with, I speak in boys' prisons, juvenile homes all the time. And every time I ask this question, which of you boys want to be like your biological father? And never does a hand go up. 6 weeks ago, I was up out of Santa Barbara, Los Paredes boys camp. 75 boys. Director said, you can't put them in one room, they'll have a fight. I said, bring them on. They kept me for 2.5 hours. I asked that question, none of their hands went up. Boys like us don't want to be like our biological fathers. So when I started reading the Jesus books, I had lots of struggles, and time doesn't permit the full testimony here. But I basically...
Do you tell them in the book?
I tell them in the
book.
Please
buy the book.
It starts when I was 3 and ends at our wedding. But I basically, like C.S. Lewis, decided this guy's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's really Lord. But there's nothing in between.
It's very true.
And in September of 1971, I prayed a very unconventional prayer in the orphanage. I said, Jesus, if you're real, and you'll come into my nightmare and change me and forgive me of my sins, then I'm yours. But if you won't, you're a fraud. Not a traditional sinner's prayer. And sir, I didn't hear angels sing. I didn't roll on the floor in spiritual ecstasy. But in a moment I knew. I absolutely knew that the Holy God of the universe had reached out of heaven and touched the heart of an angry, bitter punk in an orphanage and began to change my life.
Well, then you got married, mm-hmm, thank God, to a good woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming your wife, Susan, is that lady. How did you earn money? What did you do? Or are you broke now?
No, I'm far from broke.
You're financially independent is, yes, a modest statement.
I'm a multimillionaire. My income puts me in the top 2% of all Americans. I've been recognized as one of America's top financial consultants. But that's the end of the story, and I celebrate that. I celebrate my wife. But earning a living, figuring out how to balance a checkbook, those were all struggles. Struggles to be the guy God called me to be. And one of those calls, sir, that I know you've preached on often, was God called me through Corrie Ten Boom to forgive the people who'd wounded me the most. And I remember in that struggle saying, wait a minute, God, the grandmother I need to forgive is dead, my father's brain dead, my mother's either locked down psychiatric or wandering the streets of Chicago where she died a bag lady. What difference does it make? They'll never know.
What difference does it make?
But I have found God to be terribly inconvenient sometimes. And when I was finished forgiving them, which was very painful and very difficult, what I learned was forgiving didn't free them, it freed me.
That's so true.
It freed me to become the man God imagined I could be, the possibility He imagined I could be.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for the book. Go out and buy it. And it's Castaway Kid. And remember what Dr. Carson says, buy a box of Kleenex. You're going to need it before you page on to page 2. And you're going to need it all through the book. An amazing story. God loves you, and so do I.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Een indrukwekkend interview met Rob Mitchell, die vertelde dat, en dat vond ik wel heel aangrijpend, dat God hem de man heeft gemaakt die hij ooit was bedoeld om te zijn. En leuk, die humor van Dr. Schuller. Als je het boek leest, koop dan ook een doos Kleenex, want die heb je nodig. Nou, Wij gaan naar een bijzonder interview. Ik heb het u al verteld aan het begin van deze uitzending dat we deze zomer twee bijzondere gasten hebben geïnterviewd. Namelijk dominee Anthony Schuller met zijn vrouw Donna. En beide vertellen wat hen bezighoudt. Dat deden ze deze zomer en we laten u graag genieten van dit interview.
From Dutch descent, your father, great-grandfather, came from the Netherlands.
Yes.
Do you feel a relation with our country?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, because I still feel that Dutch connection, especially when I go back to Northwest Iowa and I see my extended relatives, and they're all of Dutch descent, and they speak Dutch occasionally. And we go to a little community. My parents were raised in a little community called Orange City, Iowa, which is, they have a Dutch festival every year, and they have windmills, and they have a lot of their Dutch culture still alive and part of the society.
You both are heading an important ministry, headquartered in Los Angeles, in Anaheim, but with an outreach all over the world. What does it mean to you that so many people from, you talked about many nationalities, mm-hmm. and countries are watching the Hour of Power and are blessed by it?
Well, it's a big responsibility, really. It's a wonderful feeling, but it's also it's hard to grasp, and that's why I think it's so important to travel and to visit the different countries and to meet with the people one-on-one, because it's easy to be in the church back at home in the United States and to forget that there's millions and millions of people all over the globe. So, you know, I think it's, like I said, it's just really important to be face-to-face with the people and to realize that my husband's their pastor. You know, it can be pretty overwhelming, but like I said, it's a big responsibility, but it's a good one. It's a really good one.
What is the power of Hour of Power?
The power of Hour of Power is the power of Jesus Christ and what he does in the lives of individuals, where he brings freedom and hope and goodness and joy.
Mm-hmm. What did he do in your life, Anthony? And why?
You know, at a very young age, I came to understand who Jesus Christ is. And as a result of that, he has continued to be a source of tremendous power for me to be able to overcome unbelievable obstacles to be the person I am today. I had serious reading disabilities to the point where when I graduated from high school, I couldn't read. But through the power of God, I was able to still go to college and still graduated from college and then went on to seminary and spent 4 years in seminary. And so, in spite of the obstacles we have, when we have the faith, the power of God always overcomes any challenges or shortcomings we have as individuals.
And that's what we hear from people who you interview, or your father,
yes,
in the Christian Cathedral, all amazing stories of God's power. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what the Hour of Power is all about, to remind people when in one small hour of a week, the tremendous power that God has to overcome the obstacles we face.
So, how do you support your husband?
I keep him in line. No. You know that saying? Keep him in line.
Yes, yes.
How do I support him? I support him in any way I can, in any way possible. You know, it's interesting because God made us both different personalities. I think that's why we get along so well. So, you know, he delivers the messages, and he's the inspirational leader, and I like to be really involved with the people. I like to be involved with the different missions. You know, locally we're involved with a lot of women's shelters now in California. It's interesting. Last night when we were here at a dinner with some of the Hour Power viewers, they were saying that because I went and helped build a house in Shreveport, Louisiana, I remember a couple of years ago after the hurricane, that some women came up to me and said that they've been inspired because of that to go and do more local work in their community. And some of them, surprisingly, told me they would fly out of the country and have projects all over the world from here, from your, you know, from the Hour of Power in the Netherlands. It's just amazing.
What is your hope and prayer for the ministry?
Yeah, my hope and prayer for the ministry is that we'll continue to expand the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. We want to reach every single soul on planet Earth with the good news of Jesus Christ. That will equip people to be able to use the gifts that God has given to them to make a positive impact in their community, wherever they live. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping they'll accept the shoes that God has given them and wear them in faith and be the hands, the voice, and accept the challenges that God has given them to be able to walk in faith. And because Christ's commands to us is to love one another. And so we wish to be able to express that love through doing good things for others.
This is episode 500. 500 broadcasts here in the Netherlands with a Dutch Touch.
Jan, I just have to stop and say thank you. Thank you for making a huge difference in making the Hour of Power here in the Netherlands a success. I know it wouldn't be the success that it is without having the special touch that you provide to this ministry by doing, how many, 500 interviews? That's a lot of interviews, an enormous amount of time and effort that you could be doing other things, but instead you've chosen to use your gift to walk in the shoes that God has given you to make a difference here in this country. And for that, I have to say thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jan.
Wow. It means a lot to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you very much, Jan.
Yes. Well, but it's teamwork. Louis Paul and all the others were all working hard, and we do together. And I'm proud of all our volunteers. I'm a volunteer, and it's wonderful to do this. And I feel very close connected with the Crystal Cathedral, with your father, with your mother, with you both, with your sons, and especially the message of Jesus Christ, who is alive today, and who touches lives, and that's why I do it. Mm-hmm. And I hope both of us, all of us, for a long, long time.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you.
Jan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Schrijven ze mij een pretje eigenlijk. Ik vind het heerlijk om achter dat scherm te zitten en dan mijn fantasieën te laten lopen. Ik weet ook nooit hoe iets afloopt.
Mijn carrière wordt elders gepland. Die wordt boven gepland. Ik wacht dat wel af.
Ja. Dat belerende is er een beetje uit.
Mensen die geloven en die Christus in hun hart hebben gesloten, dat ouderwetse en een beetje conventionele mensen zijn. Dat is helemaal niet zo.
Oh, nou, ik was helemaal... Dus ik bellen naar familielid van... Nou, je moet nu echt naar de Hour of Power kijken. Dit is zo geweldig.
Hoe sta ik in het leven? Wat kan ik voor anderen betekenen? Hoe kijk je aan tegen die samenleving? En wat betekent geloof daarin? Dat zijn essentiële vragen.
Ze nemen plastic tassen mee met sambaballen of met tamboerijn. Als je dat mee zou nemen, dan kan ik natuurlijk denken, die man is gek geworden, weet je wel.
Met die honderden miljoenen telefoontjes, hè? Waar ben je? Waar ben je? Waar ben je? Dat is de meest gestelde vraag. Nou, exact de vraag die God stelt aan Adam.
Tuurlijk is dominee Schuller een andere man dan bij wijze van spreken dronken Jantje van de hoek die in de kroeg zit. Maar dat mag hij, maar dat is een verschijningsvorm. In wezen zoekt hij ook God in zijn leven.
Maar het betekent niet dat het weg is, hoor, Jan. Ja. Mag ik dat ook zeggen? Maar ik heb maar een klein hartje, dat weet ik wel.
Hour of Power heeft in Nederland inmiddels in de afgelopen 10 jaar zo'n 500 uitzendingen voor u verzorgd. Daarin heeft presentator Jan van der Bos de meest uiteenlopende personen geïnterviewd, bekende en minder bekende Nederlanders. De gesprekken met maar liefst 50 van zijn gasten zijn gebundeld in het prachtige jubileumboek Zonder geloof kan ik niet functioneren. Deze bijzondere uitgave van dit jubileumboek is ons feestelijk welkomstgeschenk voor iedere nieuwe donateur. Via uw bijdrage, klein of groot, steunt u ons werk in Nederland. We zijn u daarvoor enorm dankbaar, want Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van haar donateurs. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588.
the Church of Jesus Christ is still very much alive. And we're 2,000 years old. That's phenomenal. You know, I want to ask some questions. Who coined up the idea of a church? Why? What was its mission and purpose? Another question. Why should you go to church every Sunday? Why don't you just worship at home? You need to come? These are important questions. They're sincere questions, and they're not put before you to admonish or scold you, but to just become informed. Why the church is still very much alive today? Who coined the word? St. Peter, no. But it was he who heard the word first. Jesus listened to Peter and said, "Who are you? Who do people say I am?" And he said, "Thou art the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "This is my church." First time. The confession of faith in Christ as Son of God, that's his church. So Jesus coined the word church, and he said it first to the apostles, specifically to Peter, because Peter had professed and confessed the faith that if the church holds to that faith, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, then the church will hear Jesus say, "That's my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's my church." Let's take a look at how the church got started. Obviously, it did not happen during the lifetime of Jesus. It happened after his death and resurrection. Yes, a form of it appeared in his early years when he went out preaching from the hillside in the country and crowds came to him. But after his death and resurrection, that's when the believers got together. They had to get together to encourage each other. They were a small faith. Their leader had been publicly executed on a cross. In public, how could they stick together? Wow. Justin Martyrs was one of the early prophets of the church, lived during those years that followed the resurrection of Jesus. And going through one of my history books, I was reading Justin Martyr. He describes the new faith, the new Christian worship. It pretty much followed, in a way, what the Jewish people had been doing every week on Saturday, the Sabbath, when they went to their houses of worship called synagogues. And all of the first believers of the faith in Christianity were all Jewish people. Their memories were all of attending the synagogue services. So it comes from that. And in the synagogue services, the scriptures would be read. Yes, the Old Testament, starting with the Pentateuch, which are the first five books of the Old Testament, written by Moses. They would come together, they would read from the scriptures. Here's what Justin Martyr said. They gather every week. The president gives a discourse, gives admonition and encouragement to imitate what the Bible calls us to do. And after all this, we rise and have common prayer. And we give gifts. The wealthy and the willing give their generous contributions. And others come and make contributions. And we give to orphans, widows, prisoners, strangers, and all who are in want. Amazing. Enormous persecution is happening. People are being persecuted by the pagan emperor in Rome. Among those who perished in the early church was Simeon, the leader of the church in Jerusalem and the brother of Jesus. He was crucified. In and around Rome, multitudes of Christians were arrested and put to death in the most cruel ways. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive because people who started the movement and kept on with it and offered their lives as sacrifices to the freedom to speak their faith. Fantastic. And what is the church today? It's become a sacred place in a secular world. Embrace the church. Go back to it. Take your children there. Look what it does for people. For my guess, for most of you, if not all of you sitting down here, the Church of Jesus Christ was planned by Jesus Christ as an institution that would meet every week and shoot out the positive emotions that you can laugh and you can cry happy tears, and you can pray positive prayers. All of this is the kind of worship service they had right away at 100 AD. Amazing. There was a lady that I can't identify by name. I can call her Jean. She went to church regularly. She had a husband, children. And then she was shocked. She found out her husband was unfaithful. And then he left her for a young and pretty girl. It almost killed her. They were active members of another church. She couldn't go back to that church. She was too ashamed. They were negative. They were teaching, if you got a divorce, you're going to hell, period. Totally non-biblical. But she'd heard about this church. She couldn't stand not going to church every week. She was used to that, so she came out here one Sunday, sat at the top balcony, top row in the top balcony, where she could be safe. Nobody would sit around her or even close to her to recognize her. And she came back the next week. And then she ran into people she didn't know, but they came to her. They smiled and they shook her hand and said, "Hi, welcome to church. God loves you and so do I." What a different message! Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, the healing power of Jesus Christ, which we have designed to be in everything we do in this worship service. We don't design things that will condemn you or belittle you or shame you or put you down. We build you up in the name of Jesus. One Sunday she felt this message and it got into her. Well, the healing power came, and then she joined this church. Why do we come together to church? Once a week, we need it every week to have our faith built up, to have our silent prayers of repentance heard and forgiven, and to have Christ come in. We have the message of this church. We are here to take cynics and make them seekers. To take the seekers and make them believers. To take the believers and make them builders. It's working. I will build my church. And he found you and brought you here. Found you and you and you and you. And today I can say to you, I look ahead at the years and how God is finding the right people for the right slots. And I'm so thrilled that he's giving them the passion that he has, my son. This is not our church. It's Christ's church. And he's blessing it, keeping it alive. We've got the message. If they come here, we will turn the cynics into seekers. We'll turn the seekers into believers. And we'll turn the believers into achievers. And that's the whole gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. And give you peace until that day when you stand before Jesus. Amen.
Zoals dominee Schuller zei, de kerk van Jezus Christus is nog steeds levend. Jezus die zelf voor het eerst het woord kerk benoemde in zijn dagen. En die kerk vind je wereldwijd. In elk land ter wereld is de kerk te vinden. En wat geweldig. En mag ik iets persoonlijks vertellen? Ik hoorde van een mevrouw die onlangs is gaan kijken naar Hour of Power. En die ook de weg naar de kerk heeft gezocht en gevonden. In een gemeente in Den Haag. En zich enkele weken geleden heeft laten dopen. U kent mij niet. Ik ken u niet. Maar ik heb het gehoord van een ouderling. En ik wil u daar van harte mee feliciteren. Want u kijkt elke zondag ook naar Hour of Power. En daar gaat het om. De kerk van Christus leeft. Je hebt het ook gehoord in het interview met Donna en Anthony Schuller en net van dominee Schuller zelf. Wij gaan afscheid nemen, maar ik heb nog één mededeling. Namelijk, het enthousiasme voor de kerstconcerten is enorm groot. Rotterdam is bijna uitverkocht. Het gaat ook heel goed in Drachten, in de andere plaatsen waar we op te zijn. Arnhem bijvoorbeeld in de Rijnhal. En we hopen u daar te mogen ontmoeten. Niet alleen om samen kerst te vieren, maar ook om samen iets te beleven wat het is om verbonden te zijn met Hour of Power. En meer dan dat in het geloof in Jezus Christus. Het kerstkind, wat komt? We laten u graag zien hoe u de kerstconcerten kunt bijwonen. Er zijn wat dure plaatsen, maar daarmee helpt u ook Hour of Power in het financieren van deze kersttournee. Maar iedereen is van harte welkom. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.
Organiseert ook dit jaar sfeervolle kerstconcerten, verspreid over het hele land. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door absolute topartiesten. Daniel Rodriguez, Sharon Kipps en Jimmy Earl Perry staan garant voor een reeks onvergetelijke concerten. De muzikale omlijsting is in handen van het bekende tv-orkest L'Orchestra Particulare. En ook dit jaar heeft Hour of Power voor u het geweldige koor The Choir Company. Alle elementen zijn aanwezig voor een adembenemend concert. U bent daarbij van harte welkom. Op zaterdag 13 december beginnen de kerstconcerten in de Utrechtse Vredenburg, Leidse Rijn. Maandag 15 december bent u van harte welkom in de Pieterskerk te Leiden. En een dag later in de Rotterdamse Laurenskerk. Op woensdag 17 december in de Bethel in het Friese Drachten. Op vrijdag 19 december zijn we in het uiterste zuiden in de Mek te Maastricht. Het slotconcert, een grootse finale met ook de medewerking van de meidengroep Excess. In de Arnhemse Rijnhal op zaterdag 20 december. Op www.kerstconcerten2008.nl kunt u uw toegangskaarten reserveren. Ook vindt u hier interviews met artiesten en uitgebreide informatie per concertlocatie. Of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588.